All right. If you would, turn to Exodus 4, please. Exodus 4. Exodus 4, verses 1 through 5, will be the text that I will give you this particular message, Grab Hold of the Tail. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Follow along if you would, if you're on your electronic devices, out of the New International Version. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And when you have it, say amen. When you have it, stomp your feet. When you stomp it, have your feet. I said, when you stomp it, have your feet. When you have it, stomp your feet. One more time. One more time. You got it? You got it? All right. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. Then the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you, Lord, that we can face our fears because we are no longer, Father, running from the things that we're afraid of. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us power, Lord, to demonstrate your kingdom here at hand. We thank you for it now and give you praise and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all of God's children said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap right now. Let's give him a little hand clap. He is worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Grab hold of the tail. Look to your neighbor and say, grab hold of the tail. Now, you see here in verse 1, he says, Moses answers, "What if they do not believe me?" Now, this is where God has come to Moses and asked him to be the deliverer of the people of Israel from Egypt. Now, most of us know the story of Moses, how he ran because he had committed murder. And he ran, and he ran into the desert, and in the desert for 40 years, in the backside of the desert, it says, and then he finds a wife. He gets married, has children, and he's there for 40 years. He begins now to have an encounter with the Lord, if you would, at the burning bush. And he begins to tell him these very things of what he has to do. He tells him it's holy ground, and you're going to do the things I've called you to deliver my people from Egypt. So this is now we're at that very act where God is speaking to him as an encounter with Moses and telling him that you're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to deliver my people. This is what we would all say to God if he was to tell us to do something so extravagant and so big that we would get so scared that we would make excuses. This is what he says. What if they don't believe who? Me. Now, is it that God said that I'm going to make you go deliver the people from Egypt, and then you're going to give an excuse to God, say, what if they don't believe me? Well, it wasn't to believe you, it was to believe in God. Okay, hold up now. See, we have a tendency to be so spiritually minded, but we have the same tendency while we're being spiritual that it's always about you. What if they don't believe me? I'm going to give you an excuse, God, because what if they don't believe what I'm telling you? What am I going to do if they don't believe, God, what I'm saying to be true? What follows right after this is so important. Watch this. Verse 2, then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" Did he address his unbelief? Did he address his excuse? Did he address his fear? Did he address his lack? What he said to him, "What is in your hand?" Look to your neighbor and ask, "What's in your hand?" Look to your other neighbor and say, "What's in your wallet?" No, I'm just kidding. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What is in your hand is what he asked Moses. And Moses looks at him and says, a stick. It's a stick. It's a rod. It's a staff. Now, I find it very interesting when God will ask you a question based on your fears and not address your fears, but address what you already have. Not what you don't have or not what you've desired to have, but what you already have obtained. Oh, come on, somebody. What is God asking you to do that you give him an excuse saying, I can't do it because I haven't been trained yet? I can't do it because I've never been here before. He's telling you, don't tell me what you can't do. I'm going to show you what I've already given you the ability to do. Because it's already in your hand. I tell you what, when God says to do something, don't give him excuses. You will. I mean, you will. We all do it. Lord, go bless Pastor with the brand new truck. Well, wait, hold up now, God. What? That wasn't God. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. But if God asks you something, is it always the little things that he asks you, or is it the big things? He will ask you the little things first to train you up to get you ready for the next big thing he's going to ask you. If you can't say yes to the little, he knows you're going to say no to the big. But before he asks you to do the big thing, he's going to prove to you that you already have the power in your hand to do it. Are you following me? So he doesn't even address to him. He made an excuse. He says, what's in your hand? And what is in your hand? He says, it's a rod, it's a staff. Now for Moses, he could have been saying, it is something that reminded me of where I was from. Because when I was in Egypt, I was second in command. And I had a scepter everywhere I went. Could have been reminded of how he was blessed before until the act that made him run. He could have been saying, this is the staff that I use when I'm out here in the wilderness because there's something that always attaches us to our sin in our wilderness experience and it's still in our hand and this is what I have and this is the same thing that's going to keep me from doing what you want me to do. So then he says to him, throw it on the ground. Throw it on the ground. Well, that's not the hard part. So he releases his staff, throws it on the ground. How many of us would throw away the thing that God told us to hold on to? But then he tells you to let it go. Yeah. I want you to throw down that thing that you've been holding on to for so long as your security blanket. Something that's made you feel like you can hold on to it because you know it so well. Throw it on the ground. Get rid of it. Throws it on the ground and it turns into a snake. Read what it says less. And Moses threw it on the ground. It turned into a snake and he ran from it. Now, when I read scripture like this, I begin to question myself, what would I do? What would I do if I was to drop this stick and it turned into a snake right before my eyes? God, you're everywhere, so follow me where I'm going. We got to get away from this snake. But then he says this to him. Pick it up. Pick it up by the tail. I'm glad God didn't say pick it up by the head. Because that's where the fangs are. There's where the poison is. Now think about this. So we're in South Texas here. We have copperheads, rattlesnakes. I don't care if we got gardener snakes, chicken snakes, whatever, the ones that are not even poisonous. I don't care if it's the little worm that looks like a snake that moves real fast. I am running. I do not like snakes. And then if he says to you, pick it up. He already ran from the snake. So what did he have to do? He had to go back to face his fear. And not only did he have to go back to it, how many of you have seen snakes just be still? And if they're still, they're usually coiled. And if they're coiled, and makes it harder to grab hold of what? The tail. Come on, don't be reading scriptures just to read it real quick and skim over it. There's some things that what you're doing in things of God that may become more difficult, but the faith is about to be tested so you can reach into a circumstance that looks like it's impossible to you, but everything is possible with God. Look to your neighbor and say, grab hold of the tail. Grab hold of your tail. Your tail, not the other person's tail. Grab hold of your tail. Just watch it real quick. Grab hold of the tail. So now watch this. But if you read the scripture yourself, because I don't want, Pastor said it was, this is not in there, Pastor. Yeah, it is. Watch. It doesn't turn back into a rod until he grabs hold of it in his hand. Lord, can't you turn it back into a rod first? Can't you make it be what I'm used to it being all these years? Can't you make it something that I'm used to or recognizable or something that it used to be a part of me? Can't you make it go back to what I used to know? Grab hold of what? I know I would have taken a long time. Because it moves. It's really real, right, God? I can't. And then it slithers and I'm sure that the head was facing right at Moses, staring right into his eyes of fear and reminding him, I got you. I've got you paralyzed in your fear. You're not going to do nothing to me. But I bet you that whole time, God is just looking at him. Attaboy, go ahead. Go ahead. You can do it, Marty. Go ahead. Just go. Andale. You can do it. I got to hold back the sun like I did for, you don't know, later I'm going to do this for Joshua. I'm going to hold the sun because you're taking a long time. Just grab hold of the tail. I know. Finally, he grabs hold of it. It's still a snake. It doesn't turn back into something that God will use until you face your fear and pick up what he says that you have thrown down. What I'm trying to tell you is God is going to tell you, you've given up on your dreams. You've given up on the things that God has shown you in the dreams, the visions, and a spoken word. You have given up on your destiny based on the fears that are facing you right now. Take hold of the tail. And I thought, well, God, you're so awesome and so powerful. Thank God you didn't ask me to do it. But how come you didn't tell him to do it by the head? That would really have been a miracle. Because there's where it bites. Because if y'all seen those snake wrestlers where they go and they get the snake from by the tail. But when I look at things like that, I look at the teeth are still free. It could always turn back and bite you. But it didn't turn into a stick again until he firmly grabbed it in his hand. Are we letting go of some things that we shouldn't be letting go of? Based on fear. Is it too hard to carry? Too hard to walk out? Because it reminds you of where you once were. I believe the significance was throw it on the ground so you can see I'm the one that's going to cause great things to take place through you and through this stick. Now, how many people were around when Moses went through this account? Just him and God. Just him and God. isn't it powerful that he has to train you first in private before he does anything to display his power in public? Y'all miss that? Before you can ever demonstrate his power the way he wants it done, you're first going to have to be in the quiet place with him. Get into that place of intimacy with the Lord and watch what he'll do. Watch how he will transform the way you see things and perceive things. And watch as he begins to speak to you of your former ways that are no longer your ways now. So he spent that time with God alone and had this conversation with God, and he had all of this unbelief within him. And what are they thinking about me if they don't believe me? What are they going to say with my relationship towards God that has only been in a quiet place? How are they going to see me now? Because I was once a murderer in Egypt, and I got to go back to Egypt, and they know me as a murderer. They know my old ways, and I got to go back, and they're still out to kill me. They still have a contract out of me, and I've got to go back to where I once was, where you brought me out of, where I ran from. I ran from the thing that I must face, and now you're telling me to go back. And I believe this is what Moses was saying. I don't want to go back to what they know me as before. They're making excuses. What if they don't believe me that you said, that the Lord said? Has anybody ever came against what your relationship with God is? If you came from a Catholic background like we did, the moment that my mom took me to a church here in San Antonio, very big, red carpet everywhere, my dad said we were leaving the faith. Now, I was in high school at the time. I was not so spiritually minded, but I knew enough to know that if God is here and God is there, how we leave in faith from here to there, it's still God. But my dad got very upset because we were leaving the Catholic faith. Got very upset with my mom for taking his son to a cult, is what he said. Am I telling the truth? You're taking him to a cult, and all they want is your money. He has been baptized as a Catholic. He is Catholic forever. Now, if you have a Catholic background, I'm not disgracing that at all. I believe they're very powerful. A lot of people have some ill feelings about Catholic religion. Shame on you. That's the body of Christ. Shame on you. We're all believers. So when we went to this other church and I began to learn some things about how some things just don't add up, don't make sense, but they still love God. They may not do things the way we do it over here, but they still love God. So how is it that when you do something for the things of God, that they will also come against you for doing the things for God? Have you had people always talk about you? Why are you going over to that church? Why are you going over there? You know you're supposed to belong over here. That's why we don't take memberships here. We do not take memberships. Have any of you ever signed a membership card here? No, and you won't be, because we're family. We're family. That's what we are. If you go to another church and they ask you to sign a membership card, you're going to become a member of the church. You are a member of the kingdom of God. That's why we don't do membership. Why? Because I don't want anybody ever saying to us that we are just about building our membership up. I'm about filling the kingdom of heaven and emptying the kingdom of hell. Amen? The moment you step into his marvelous light, the redemption power of Christ, through the shed blood of our Savior, you've entered into the family of God. Oh, but Dad was mad, wasn't he, Mama? Oh, he was mad. I would see the snake in him come out on Sunday mornings. Am I telling the truth? Being very transparent. Get very upset because we were going to that church. And they knew the name. He knew the name. That church. And what made it even worse, it was on TV. And he could see that church. And I never understood it. But it's just like today where people always get mad because you're making a choice to do something for the things of God. And it may not make sense to them, so they ridicule you. Whew. Yeah. What happens when God tells you to do something and it goes against the grain, against your family? Yeah. It's a little quiet in here, isn't it? I take it we've all been there. But when the more and more we continue to do that God has called us to do, you begin to see the power demonstrated in your life and in the lives of others around you. Amen. Moses was acting like they were going to judge him by what he said based upon his relationship that he had with them. Grab hold of the tail. Now, we have a tendency to run. We run from the things that we don't want to face. And I get it. I understand that. No one ever wants to face the fact that they did a mistake or they did some things in their life that hurts them and hurts others, and they don't want to face it. But if you never face it, you will always stay in bondage to the very thing that has you in fear. You will stay there. And the purpose of the kingdom of God is to set the captive free. What captive? We all are captive to certain things in our life. Those that are also in bondage for not knowing Christ and not believing in the word of God. The Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing. So we have to hear the word. We have to be in a place that we can hear the word. So most of the times the enemy wants to come in and make all kinds of ruckus around you that you won't hear the word. Will get you so distracted that you won't go in hear the word. Get you so caught up with the things of your natural life that you won't go in to expect to see the supernatural in your life. Why? Because all of this stuff comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when Moses spent time with him, with God alone, he was hearing the word of God. He was hearing the word of God. What was God saying? I'm getting rid of all those things that you were talking to yourself about as being a murderer and being an outcast and being less than, and that you're incapable of making all your excuses. I'm speaking the word to you so I can get rid of all those words that you have spoken unto yourself, that you listen to others speak into your life, and you begin to believe that that's what you are, but that's not who I called you to be. I am more capable than enough to make you a great nation unto yourself through Christ Jesus. I'm going to get rid of all that stigma and all the dogma that's all around you, but I have to have you listen to the word, because faith comes by hearing. I found it very interesting that he did not write this to him on the tablet of stone. And what to do? He spoke to him. Why would God speak to you as opposed to writing it down to you? Because faith comes by hearing. It has to come by hearing. Because inside your audible ears, you're beginning to formulate a picture of what you hear. And as you begin to formulate the picture of what you hear, you begin now to envision the vision that God has for you. So he begins to speak these good things to you and not these bad things to you. He speaks to you about your destiny, your future, and who you're going to become. But he also tells you this is who you are now, because I know you're in from the beginning. You don't know where you're going, but I know that your end result results in this. You are going to walk things out the way you need to walk them out in God. And it will be hard. It will be to the point that you won't want to do it. You'll want to run away from it. You'll want to cower from it. I can't do this. There's too much on me of my past. Your past does not define you. It does not define you and does not cancel you out. It only shows you the grace and the mercy of God that is forever being renewed daily on your behalf, that the blood is there to cover you, cleanse you, and make you white as snow. We need a Savior like never before to come in and save you from yourself, save you from the way that you have been thinking things in your head, thinking things in your heart, because the Bible says, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We got to get that stinking thinking out the way and grab this thing by the tail and grab hold of it. Know that faith comes by hearing the word of God and understanding. I'm calling you to a great place. I'm calling you out of your desert experience, and I'm calling you back into the world system. So not only for you, but for those that are still in bondage, so that you can get them out of their bondage, get them into the place of freedom, get them into the place of a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But if you continue to run from your fear, you will not experience the supernatural of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people, Lord. I thank you. We have to understand that we got to quit worrying about what people believe in us or how they see us in our belief in God. We got to continue to move on past that. We've got to move past that fear. We got to move past the fact that there's some things in our life that try to define us in the things on how we walk with God. Are you hearing me? How we walk with God, we begin to feel like that's defining us as a believer because we have fallen. We're fallen, backslidden believers. You are not a backslider. You have fallen. Get up. Get up. The sin isn't in the fall. The sin is if you stay down. Get up. If you're looking to be perfect, you never will until you go to glory with God. Do you understand? You're being made perfect. You're not perfect now. But continue to strive to be like Christ as much as you can. As much as you can. Christ so loved everyone that he did everything not to hurt them, but to help them, to heal them, to speak good things about them, to encourage them. And when they were hungry, what did he do? He fed them. When they were naked, what did he do? He clothed them. And when they were out of their minds, what did he do? He brought them a sound mind. Do you understand that the God we serve is interested in our destiny? So interested in our destiny that he's in your now to help you get out of your now. You may be in your now, but your mind be in the past. And if you don't let go of that past, you don't let go of those feelings, you don't let go of that animosity, you don't let go of these things, you'll be in bondage, still walking towards destiny, but slowing your pace. Let it go. Let it go. Forgiveness is for you, not the other individual. It's for you. Forgiveness can set you free from all kinds of sickness and disease. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. It begins to eat at your very will, your emotions, at your soul. It grows, it breeds, but you got to let it go. Because God wants to use you as an instrument for his glory to bring others out of that bondage. Grab hold of the tail. Grab hold of the tail. Grab hold of the things that you're afraid of. Face them. No more running from them. Let's face these things so that we can move forward in the things of God and see his supernatural meet our natural. Amen? The rod was an instrument that God used, and it identified Moses and represented all the problems in his life. Moses, the rod reminded him that he used to be a prince in Egypt. It reminded him that he used to be a servant. The rod reminded him that he was poor and owned nothing because of his fall from grace in Egypt. The rod reminded Moses that he was once filled with the vast potential at one time, but now he was merely a has-been washed up and a nobody on the backside of the mountain. God will use what we have. God will always begin by using what we have in our hand. Page after page in the Word of God, it reveals how he uses what we already have. In the book of Judges, the left-handed Ehud had a single dagger in his hand. Ehud had a single dagger in his hand and got victory. This is the one I love the most. Shamgar had an ox goad. An ox goad. What was in his hand is what he used to give him victory again. Samson, if you read this part of the stories in Samson, Samson used the jawbone of an ass to gain victory of his enemies. When David went to kill Goliath, he had a sling in his hand. What's in your hand? When the widow appeared to Elisha for help, he said, what's this? What is in your house? What is in your house? We shift from the hand to the house, but what is in your house is what you've acquired. What is in your house is what you have the ability to use even right now. What is in your house? And this is what she gives. She tells to him, there was only a pot of oil, but God said, that's sufficient. That's what I'll use. You may think that the little that you have is not good enough for what God needs to do, but God will use what you have. Even if it's a little, he'll use it. The 6 pots of water at the wedding of Canaan, that's what God used through Jesus. 6 pots of filthy water turned into the best wine they've ever tasted. He uses what you have. And what you would think would be insignificant, that's what he uses. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, that was enough to feed 5,000. What's in your possession? Grab hold of the tail. Don't make excuses for the little that you have, but when it's someday, I'll do this for God. God's saying, this is that someday, do what you have right now. If God does this, then I'll do that. God says, do it now. Then I'll do what I want to do. We think that we can move God by saying to put limitations on him. God, I'm not doing this unless you do that. God says, really? I won't do that until you do this. You think you're going to negotiate with God? He's going to tell you, do what you need to do. And if you're afraid, because you've experienced loss in your life or loss of something in your life and it keeps you in bondage, he says, do not fear, for I have overcome the world. I've overcome the very thing that you're facing. Do not fear. I'm with you. I'm with you always. And when you have just a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this very thing that you're facing and cast it into the sea, and you won't face it anymore. And we use the little things to do great things in your life. When he showed Sansom the jawbone of an ass that destroyed the enemies, the victory was in the jawbone. Was it in Samson or the jawbone? Was it in Samson or the jawbone? Was it in Samson? It's a trick question. The jawbone represented something that was cast out, something that was just lying there. God will use what he needs to use to bring you victory over your enemy. You have to be obedient to hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing. And once you hear, when he said to Samson, there's a jawbone of an ass. Use that to kill the enemies. What was he saying? I always have something in your reach, something that you can grab hold of that's going to bring victory over your enemies that are trying to keep you in bondage. I always have something in your reach that you can grab hold of to bring you out of the bondage that you're in. There is something always near you that I will use to give you victory. You just have to hear in order to believe. The prosperity of the widow and the sons, it was in the pot of oil that was in her house. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The tree that would cure the bitter water of Moriah was in the wilderness, but the Israelites didn't see it until God showed them through the branch, through the tree that was thrown into the water that made the water sweet again. See, what it is I'm going to show you something that you can grab hold of here on earth to bring about the supernatural from heaven to manifest in your natural. You just got to hear what I'm telling you to do. You got to hear what I'm telling you because it's going to build your faith so that I can do greater things with you, Moses. You're thinking that this staff that is in your hand is the only thing that you have to hold on to your past, but it's the very thing that's going to bring you into your deliverance. Because when you fast forward into Exodus, it was that very rod that he says, dip your stick into the Red Sea. It parted the Red Sea. But he couldn't do that in public if he didn't spend time with him in private. If he didn't spend time with him, with the Lord, by himself, one-on-one, to understand that the power that I have given you comes by your faith in hearing my word. Grab hold of your tail. Grab hold of your tail. Because I'm about to do. You think it's insignificant now. It's just a snake and it scared you. You ran from it. But there's going to be something that's going to chase you down in the future. And the thing that you're running from right now is going to be the very thing that's going to bring you deliverance. Well, you better hear that. The thing you're running away from right now is going to be the very thing that's going to bring deliverance to you in the future. You put that thing and dip it in the water. It's the same conversation when Moses says unto God, what are you going to do? Pharaoh and his army is chasing us and the Red Sea is in front of us. You've called us out here to die. What are you going to do? And he says to him, why are you talking to me? What is in your hand? Put it in the Red Sea. See, God will always question your fear by showing you you already have the power to overcome it. You have the power to overcome it. I'm going to get into this thing right here. I hear it. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. You feel that because something hasn't taken place in your life of manifestation, whether it be healing, finances, or deliverance, or even healing of a marriage, or anything else with children, anything else with a job, anything else with family members, you feel that it isn't God. And you feel like nothing is going to ever transpire and I'm going to glory just like this. Shame on you. God's intention is to bring you all the way out. All the way out. How many of the Israelites were left behind after the Red Sea closed back up? Zero. Not one of them left behind. Every single one of them, every woman, man, and child, and every horse, cattle, and ox made it across. They all made it across. Why? Because God sees fit to make sure you have everything that you need when you cross over to the other side. He will bring you all the way through. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you. I thank you that we're no longer going to allow the enemy to keep us in fear. We're no longer going to allow the certain circumstance in our life to keep us in bondage. We're grabbing hold by faith, oh God. We're grabbing hold by faith. We may not see it now in the fruit fruition, Lord, but I thank you, God, that what I can see by my faith, Lord, shall become manifest in my destiny. If I can see my healing now, I'll walk into my healing then. If I can see my breakthrough now, I can walk through with my breakthrough on the other side. If I can praise you now before the walls of Jericho come down, I know they're coming down. I'm not going to put my faith in what I see. I'm going to put my faith in what I believe. I'm not going to put my faith in what people say. I'm going to put my faith in what I hear you tell me to do. It's because of who you are, God. I will continue to walk this walk. I will continue to press forward. I will continue to go to the things that you called me to go to. Lord, I thank you. I'm not that one who said I will run. I will no longer run from, but run to. Lord, I thank you for what you called me to do. Lord, I thank you for each and every individual that's going to face their every fear and grab hold of the tail, Lord, because then ultimately we will cut off the head. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Never worry about the lack of qualification, your talent, or your natural abilities. God will make you and will do, create you to be a great nation. Genesis 12:2. Abraham was an idol worshiper, but God made him the father of many nations. David was a shepherd boy, but God made him a king over Israel. Joseph was a prisoner, but God made him prime minister in Egypt. The apostle Paul, before his conversion, was a serial killer by association, persecuting the church. But God made him the author of more than half of the books of the New Testament. Is there anything too hard for God? Do you have to be made perfect now in order for God to use you? I just listed the matriarchs and the patriarchs of this word of God. It says, I'm going to use you regardless of the stigma that is over your life. I'm going to use you regardless of what the label that man has put over you. I'm going to use you regardless. Each one of these individuals listed had a heart that was converted over to belief in God. the moment they had an encounter with God, there was a belief that was instilled inside of them that no one can ever shake out of them ever again. They continue to do the things by faith and do it because they've heard the word of the Lord. Amen. Are you hearing the word of the Lord? No more excuses. Get up and excel. You're not empty-handed or God-forsaken. You are his treasure in earthen vessels. God will put his super into the things that seem so natural to you in order for it to become supernatural. Amen. Stand on your feet if you would. If you know this to be a message that you have heard in your spirit that God has been speaking to you about facing your fear, facing what you feel is inadequate or less than, I want you to just lift your hand up. Lift your hand. Amen. Amen. If this word spoke to you about the issue of fear that keeps you in bondage, raise your hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. With every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to pray this prayer over you. And I believe by the power and the authority of his word and his blood, it's the anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke. It is the perfect love that casts out all fear. Father, in the precious name of our Lord, I thank you for each and every individual that has lifted their hands, has acknowledged the fact that there may be fear that kept them in bondage, may be fear that has kept them from being in the same place, but they're afraid to face it. Lord, I speak right now into the spirit man of each and every individual that you continue to manifest your presence, your love, and your grace unto them. Extend your mercy, O God, into the very area of their life that keeps them in bondage. Lord, it's the mercy that heals, the grace that saves. And I thank you right now, Father, that you continue to do great and wonderful things in their life. It is because of who you are, Father, because of who you are, that we are saved by your Son, Jesus. That we're no longer, Father, in our old nature. Because the moment we accepted your Son as our personal Lord and Savior, we have become a new creation. And in this new creation, Father, I thank you that you're working out all the details in our life. I thank you that your hand is upon their life right now to bring healing into that very area. I speak a blessing from the crown of their heads to the very soles of their feet, O God, that you keep them, be with them, walk with them, empower them. But Lord, let them hear the word of the Lord. That faith to move mountains will increase in their life. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen.